Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalms 115. Psalms chapter 115. This is a psalm of David, one probably written closer to the end of his life. It's supposedly a paschal psalm, or a psalm used at Passover, because it ends with "Praise ye the Lord." It may have even been a psalm that our Lord used for the Last Supper, or at least one he had used in his Passover memorial time growing up. But he would have been familiar with this one. If you'll look in verse number 1, it says, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now and in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now and in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord." As I said, David is the one who penned this psalm. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is the author. It is a hallelujah psalm. And as I said, we assume that it was used at Passover. And again, it may have even been one of the hymns that Jesus sang throughout his life at this Passover time. It is a psalm of thanksgiving. But one of the things that jumped out at me was the fact that it is a psalm of declaration. The word declaration means an affirmation and an open expression of fact or opinions, a verbal utterance. I mean, it's one thing to think about something. It's another thing to actually give it voice and to speak it out loud, because when you do that, you are tying yourself to that affirmation, to that declaration. My mother used to say, put your money where your mouth is. And when you open your mouth and you declare something, you are stating something that's in your heart that is no longer hidden. It is out there. Now, I call it a declarative psalm also because 5 times David says the words, "I will." Have you ever talked yourself into something? Have you ever thought about it so much you'd convince yourself of it? Or maybe you've talked to yourself so much you convinced yourself out of it. And you talked yourself out of doing something or buying something or going somewhere. Well, the first declaration we see in Psalm 116 is the phrase, "I love the Lord." God was real to David. David knew him personally. The Bible refers to David as a man after his own heart and as after God's heart. And David is saying, "I love him." But he doesn't just say that. He tells us why. Look at the next. He gives us the first reason. Why do I love him? Because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. You know, he's not just omniscient, but he's loving and he's caring and he's interested in me. That's what David was saying. He's interested in me. And who am I that God would be interested in me? I love him. Why? Because he heard my voice and my supplications. In Psalm 103 and verse 13, look what the Bible reads in Psalm 103 and verse number 13. Follow along with me, please. Psalm 103 and verse 13. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Do you know what that word pitieth means? It means to look down and to have compassion for, to stop what you're doing and to regard them, to engage them, to be connected, not just familiar, but to stop what you're doing and spend a moment and connect. I have a tendency from time to time to write our congressman in our area, and I know he doesn't read my emails. Somebody lower down on the food chain reads the email and copies and pastes his signature. The truth is, God always stops and listens to his children when they call upon him. If you can imagine him sitting on a throne, I think of Abraham Lincoln's memorial, him sitting on that large seat, God looking like that in heaven, so much more massive than that. He stops everything and listens to you when you pray. He has inclined his ear unto me, is what the Bible says. And therefore will I call upon him. Do you see that? You know, the second thing it says here, because he hath inclined his ear to me. Now, there's nothing wrong with silent prayer. I do it a lot. Sometimes I'll call it a flare prayer. You ever, like on a boat, you have the flare gun, and sometimes I'll be in the midst of a situation, and I'll fire up a prayer like a flare, saying, God, it's me. And God will not only stop to listen, but God will stop and give me audience. I want you to think about that for just a second. He doesn't just listen. He stops, and you are now having an audience with the King of Kings. God takes great pleasure when we speak aloud our prayers. As I said, I write my congressman, and I and our congressman won't grant me an audience. I've tried for several years, but a lower staff person will talk to me. But that isn't how it is in heaven's economy. God stops what he's doing and grants his child immediate access and audience when we call upon him. And that's why David said, I love him. Can you say, I love him? You know he listens, but he stops, and you are now front and center when you speak. He grants you audience. That's why it says in Hebrews 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. God stops what he's doing and grants you audience, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. David says, I love him. And you and I can say the same thing, because God has shown me this undeserved kindness. He's shown all of us an undeserved kindness. And he has condescended himself to focus on you and I. We who are not worthy, he stops and grants audience to us. And we are, who are we? We are not the king of the world. We're not a king of anything, but God grants us audience. Now look here. He makes his second declaration. He says, therefore, verse number 2, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore, because of this, because God grants me audience and God listens, he said, I will call upon him as long as I live. Now, this is the first of the 5 I wills that David puts in this psalm. This is a declaration. It's as if David is saying, I have decided, because God listens, because God grants me audience, I have decided that I will call upon him as long as I live. That means all my days. I mean, I'm constrained by his love. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 14. Look what the Bible reads in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. But it goes on to talk about how that he died and we should not live to ourselves. But look at that first phrase, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And man-made religion will say, well, if you love God, then you will do such and so. That's not what this verse is saying. What this verse is saying is, when I came to a realization of how much he loved me, I couldn't help it but love him back. And David is saying, I will commit myself. This is a declaration. I will commit myself to the Lord because he hears me. He regards me. He grants me audience. I recognize my need, and I recognize that I am not okay without God. He's more to me than fire insurance. Is he more to you than just fire insurance? Have you come to realize that you're not okay without the Lord? You're not. None of us are. But once we come to the realization of how much God loves us, we in turn can't help but fire back, I love you, God, and make that declaration like David did. Look what David wrote here in Psalm 116 and verse 3. The sorrows of death compassed me. That means he realized his mortality. And the older I get, the realize how much I realize my mortality. I think of what Abraham said when he was faced with the Lord the day before he destroyed Sodom. He said, look, I'm speaking to you who am but dust and ashes. And that's all we are. We're mortal beings. We will one day physically die if the Lord doesn't return first. And David had walked through the valley of the shadow of death many times. He had seen his comrades fall in battle. He'd seen a number of his children die and be put into the ground. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, just like our Lord. And I understand what he means here. In verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pain of hell got hold upon me. That's the realization of the penalty and power of sin that you and I have to wrestle with. Now, the penalty was solved at Calvary when Jesus died on the cross. But the power of sin is the daily struggle which we walk every day. And that's why it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 22, Romans chapter number 8, and verse number 22, look what the Bible reads. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know, the truth is we are mortal. And you know, things don't always go right. Look what it says here in Psalm 116. He said, I found trouble. Look at verse 3. I found trouble and sorrow. You know, problems in life are part and parcel with the whole human existence. And having problems is not sinful. But dealing with our problems our way instead of God's way, that's when we start to venture into sin. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33, he said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And as I said, having problems is not sinful, but not dealing with them God's way, though, that's where we stray off into sin. In Psalm 116 and verse 4, the Bible says, then called I upon the name of the Lord. In his distress, David called upon the Lord. And you and I, we should be turning to God in these troubled times, in any time, not just in these troubled times, but in every time, we should be turning to God. In the hour when things seem darkness, David says, I'm making God my choice. You know, God gave you and I that choice of who we'll turn to. But he left that choice up to us. He already wants to answer, but he's a gentleman. God is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself upon us. He's already made the choice and made the offer, and now he leaves it up to us. So as I look through this psalm, you and I have problems. Who do we turn to? What is your go-to? Is it entertainment? Is it gaming? There's nothing wrong with gaming in and of itself, but I mean, if you're hiding from your problems in entertainment or gaming, it's no different than hiding from your problems in drugs or alcohol. It's not fixing anything. Who do you turn to? David said in verse 4, look what it says here. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. And then David prays. Look at David's prayer here in verse 4. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And here is the response of God. He answers. And this is how David responds to God's answer to his prayer. He says, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. David realized when he said the word gracious, you know, I don't deserve God's love. And he left it up to us. He said, I want to give you my love. But he left it up to us to accept it and receive it. He said, gracious is the Lord. Then look at that next phrase. He said, righteous. Why? Because David wrote in multiple Psalms how that God would be just when he judged. You and I deserve death in hell. We deserve whatever fate we get, but we were given salvation. So anything short of going to hell is grace. David recognized this. God is righteous. That's why in Romans it says the wages of sin is death. But, praise the Lord, God interjects with that and says the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He not only said that God is gracious and righteous, he said that God is merciful in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4. Look what the Bible reads here. This is a wonderful section of scripture in verse number 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God is merciful. We don't deserve his deliverance, but he offers it to us. David said, I love the Lord. Why? Let me tell you why. He listens to me. He hears me. He grants me audience. And even though I'm surrounded by problems and even death and the penalties of it all, of our sin, the power of our sin, I'll call upon the Lord who is gracious, righteous and merciful. You know, then look at verse number 6. David was not too proud to admit and lower himself and say, the Lord preserveth the simple. That's what he said. David wasn't too proud to admit he was on the same level as everybody else. He didn't exalt himself. You know, you realize that our prayers do not have to be complicated. They don't have to be overly lengthy or wordy or eloquent. But what does it take to get your prayers answered? Is it eloquence? Is it repetition? Is it loud volume? Well, David knew it was just asking. That's what prayer is. So in Matthew 7 and verse 7, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, ye have not because ye ask not. So what does it take to get our prayers answered? Number one, it takes asking. God's listening. God's ready to grant you audience. In response to his love for us, we cry out, I love you. Right now I'm in darkness, or right now things are unsure, but I'll call out to you who are gracious, righteous, and merciful, O God. And then it said, David also knew it takes wanting God's will instead of our own. Take your Bible, go to 1 John, all the way in the back of the book. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15. Now, 1 John is just before you get to the book of the Revelation. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, number one, getting your prayers answered means you ask. Number two, it's ask according to his will, wanting what God wants. Look at verse 14 of 1 John 5. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, if we're asking for what God wants, he heareth us. And we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask. We know we have the petitions that we desired of him. David already knew. David knew. If I ask, and I ask according to God's will, he's going to answer. Because I'm asking for what God already wants, I have this confidence in him. It's like it's already happened, is what David was saying. And it also not only takes asking and asking for what God wants, asking in God's will. Number three, it takes obedience to God's word. You're in 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. David knew. And David's heart responds in love. And David makes this declaration, I will call upon him all my days. He's standing up and saying it out loud, and he's saying it for all to hear. It's almost like the whole world and universe and every human being that will ever read this becomes David's accountability partner, that he will call upon the Lord and trust him. But you know, David back in 1:16 says, it takes putting off pride. Look at verse number 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. David recognized again that he had to put off his pride. He put himself on the same playing field and level as everyone else and realized that God had to help him from time to time to bring him low. It says in James chapter 4 and verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You know, we have to put off our pride. Not only do we ask, and we ask, wanting what God wants and ask in obedience to God's commands to us, but we are to ask in humility by putting our pride off. You realize the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. And if I have contention with God, I can tell you right now, it's my pride that's the problem, not God's. And so being brought low, being humbled, it is not a bad thing. It says that when he was humbled, God helped him. That's what it says here in Psalm 116 and verse 6. I was brought low and he helped me. The Bible says in James 4:10, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, David makes that first declaration. I love the Lord. He hears me, and I will call upon him. And then he has to have a conversation with himself. Look at verse number 7 here. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Why? Obviously, David was agitated. And I'll tell you the truth. You don't got to look very far to find something that'll agitate you or agitate me. I know. I just got to go out my front door or get in my car and drive a bit, or maybe even just flip over to a news feed or a news source, and I'll find something that agitates me. And David had to talk to himself. David had to have a conversation with himself. And I dare say you and I need to have these conversations with ourselves where we're telling our soul how to think and how to feel. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Fret not, let my faith be increased. Why can I return to thy rest? Why can I fret not? Why can I increase my faith? Well, look at verse 7. Because the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Bountifully. Is that a word you use this week in a sentence? It means above that which you can ask or think. Just like Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says. Ephesians chapter 3, this is a verse you ought to underline. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, the Lord has done bountifully. He has treated us and hath dealt bountifully with you and I. We have received so much more than we deserve, for we deserve nothing but death and hell. And God has given us eternal life and a home in heaven. He's got, they're already been notified. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have so much more than you deserve. And David recognized it. And that is why David could have this conversation with his soul. Don't be agitated. Don't fret. Don't worry. God is so much better to us than we could even ask or think. And look at verse 8. For because thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Let's look at each one of those. Why is it that I can have this conversation? How is it? What reason do I have not to fret? Verse number 8. Well, we talked about verse 1. He dealt bountifully with thee. Number 2, it's because he delivered my soul from death. I've been saved. And you know what? I've been separated unto God as his own. Then he says here, because thou hast delivered mine eyes from tears. That not only talks about salvation, but it talks about separation. Instead of having a dead life of regret, I now have a life lived for Christ. I can live for Jesus and my life can count for eternity. Look at this last one. Because thou hast delivered my feet from falling. This talks about service. In my daily life, God has not cast me down. God will never cast me away. I've been delivered from a life that would have been spent in sin, waste, and purposelessness. This is what David's saying. These are the declarations that we can also make unto God. I love you, Lord, because you've heard me and you give me an audience. Therefore, I will call upon you all my days. And you're so much better to me than I deserve. You've dealt bountifully with me. And you've kept me from falling. And you've delivered me from tears. And as I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, I often wondered what we're going to do for eternity. But I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, when we're rewarded for our lives, we will also see all the things that we overlooked. Things that God had done for us that we didn't even recognize or were cognizant of. And we will spend eternity praising him for all these things we didn't even recognize were blessings from God. The third declaration David says, it's like David is saying, and I'm further declaring, look at verse 9, the second I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You know, God offers us something no one else can. I heard a preacher say one time, God's got the best deal going. Well, everything else is a sham. God is the only one offering us true salvation. But he also has the best plan and the best practice. You cannot improve upon God's plan for your life. You cannot improve on God's practices in your life. You cannot improve on God's stuff. David is saying in these declarations, I have bound my soul with a vow to God. Look at verse number 10 here in Psalm 116 and verse 10. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I've said it out loud. I believe. I believe, and therefore I have said it out loud. In 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Do you know? Not only know that you know you're saved and going to heaven and can't lose it. Do you know that you're God's and he has dealt bountifully unto thee? He's been merciful and gracious unto thee, that he has kept you from falling and your eyes from tears, and he has done so much more than we. Do you know that? Have you bound your soul unto him, not just in salvation, but have you bound your soul to him in a vow? Recognize, I know whom I've believed. I know who my faith and trust is. I know this God that David knows. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Listen to what Paul said. It's one of my favorite verses. It says, for the which things I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's personal knowledge. That is persuaded. That is a heart change. That's what David is saying. These are declarations David has made. I believed, and therefore I have spoken it for the world to hear, to see, and to hold me accountable. And then he says here in verse 10, he says back in Psalm 116, jump back there with me, please. At the end of the verse, I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. This life can be frustrating. It really can. That's why you don't even dare trust yourself, as it says in Jeremiah, for the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This life can be frustrating when our eyes are taken off of God and put on mankind. Even if it's us that we have our eyes on, our own ability, our own thought, our own knowledge, our own wisdom. That's why the middle of the Bible is Psalm 118 and verse 8. It says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. How many times has God heard this from us? How many times have we made promises to the Lord but never followed through? How many times have we made these types of promises only to break them, knowing when we made them, we probably wouldn't keep them? That's why David said, all men are liars. I'm sure God looks down from heaven and has heard whatever vow I've just made. I'm sure he's heard that 100 times. What's going to make me any different? What's going to make my choices any different than the millions of people who've made vows to God and not kept them? How can I make this real? Well, he even asked us. Look at verse 12 in Psalm 116. He said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? That's why he said, all men are liars. He said, I'm sure God has heard this before. What's going to make this? What's going to make my declaration real? What's going to make this stick in my life? So many times I run into people that I've met out door knocking or out witnessing. Maybe even they've visited the church, and I'll run into them out at a place of business, and they'll say, oh, pastor, good to see you. You know, I meant to be there Sunday, but such and so. I've been meaning to do this or that, but. And David, that's why David back in Psalm 116 says, he said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. In my frustration, even I fall under that category. How many times have I promised God, knowing in the back of my mind I probably won't keep it? Does God ever get tired of hearing us say no to him? Does God ever get tired of us hearing us justify ourselves? God loves us and he's merciful. He knows we're but dust and ashes. That's not a license to go back on your vows, because the Bible says that we are to make vows and not go back. That if we make a promise, it would have been better for us not to make the promise than to make a promise and to break it. And David is making a declaration. I want this to stick in my life. How can I make this real? How can I pay him back? Well, in obedience. So in 1 Samuel 15, when Saul went and captured Agag, Samuel said, "What am I hearing? Why do I hear all this bleeding of the sheep? Everything was to be slaughtered." And Saul says, "Well, we brought it for a sacrifice." And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord great delight in burnt offerings?" That means, you remember, they gave offerings to say, "I'm sorry." When they would make a burnt offering, it was like they were saying to God, "I'm sorry." "Hath the Lord as great delight in you turning to him and saying, 'I'm sorry,' as he does in you obeying the voice of the Lord?" Obedience, it says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. It'd be better to just obey. David's like, "I want this to stick in my life. I don't want to make another promise to God and not follow through. So I will." Look what he says. Verse number 13, he makes his fourth declaration. He says, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will bind my soul to the Lord. I will call upon him. I will repent of my sin. I will depend on him only. All I have is me. All I have to give him is my heart, my love and devotion, my affection, and more importantly, my obedience. And all of these things will become my worship of God. Not just the things I say, but also the things I do." This is a declarative psalm. This is a psalm where it makes declarations that you and I need to bind our soul to God with. Look at the fifth declaration in verse 14. "I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now and in the presence of all his people. I will fulfill my promise unto the Lord. I will live it, no matter who's watching." That's what David is saying. "Now in the presence of all his people." See that in verse 14? I will do this. I am making a decision. No matter who's watching, no matter what they say, no matter how they snicker, no matter how foolish they think I am, I will follow through. David is saying, "I am going to do this." Look at verse number 15. "Precious in the sight of the Lord." Look at that. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." I will die to self. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "I die daily." I have to get back up on the altar every day, multiple times a day. But in any time I crawl off that altar, I'm going to confess and repent and climb back on and give myself wholly unto the Lord. Everybody wants eternal life, but not everybody wants daily death. And so we've got to die to sin. We've also got to die to self. That's why it says in Romans chapter number 6, Romans chapter number 6, and verse number 11, Romans 6 and verse 11, it says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, my life is to be lived for the pleasure of God, for his pleasure, not mine. That's why it says in Galatians 2:20, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It's like every day David understood to make this a reality, to render unto God the promises I've made, to almost like a payback. I want to do this, not to earn his love. I already have it. Not to earn his favor. I already have it. But I want to, in response to his overwhelming love for me, I want to make this real in my life. I must dethrone myself and put Christ in his rightful place on the throne of my heart. These declarations are to be ours. Because when we realize how much God loves us, our heart can't do anything but just respond with, "I love you, Lord. I will obey. I will pay my vows." Look at verse 16. "O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds." David is saying, truly, I know it to be true. I need to live it so others will know it. I need to live it. No matter who's watching, no matter what they think, I will live it. Verse 17, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will offer you praise. I will point to you. As you elevate me in front of people, I'm going to point to you. And whether you elevate me or not, I'm going to point to you. And whether I feel it's a blessing or not, I'm still going to point to you and say, you're the source of my strength. In Psalm 145 and verse 21, the Bible says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name forever. Go back to Psalm 116. He says, and I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, verse 17, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will seek him in prayer. I will seek him. I will talk to him. I will cry out to him. In Proverbs chapter number 8 and verse 17, I love them that love thee, and those that seek me early shall find me. These are the declarations of David. These are the declarations for us. In response to the realization of God's love for us, these five I wills should become our I wills. And look at the last one here in verse 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I've told you it's better to not promise God anything than to make a promise and break it. It says in Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2, which is the chapter that explains vows and how to perform them. In Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2, the Bible reads, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. David was saying in Psalm 116, I will pay my vows. I will live up to my promises. I will man up. I will be the man God wants me to be. And I will follow through on my vows. Because God loves me so much, I can't do anything but in response and a heart of love, go back to him and fulfill the promises I've made. In Deuteronomy 23 and verse 21, it says, when thou vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. As I said, a lot of people make foolish promises to the Lord. They're foolish because they never bind their soul to it. The Bible refers to it in the book of Proverbs as swearing to thine own hurt. I have made this promise, and even if it costs me more than I thought it would, I'm still going to follow through. Have you bound your soul to the Lord? Yes, in salvation, because you've called upon him, trusted him, repented of your sin, believed that he died for you. But let me ask you a question. Have you bound your soul to him in obedience and in praise? I will commit myself to this promise. I will be accountable publicly. I will put my money where my mouth is, as my mother would say. Verse 18, it says, now in the presence. I'm going to do it now. I'm not going to wait. Look at verse 18 now. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now. You made a promise to the Lord you'd be faithful. Tomorrow never comes. It's now. Now is the time. Today is the day. Tomorrow will never be here. You can't do anything about yesterday. But if you've made a promise, listen, have you responded to God in love? Have you bound your soul to him, not just in salvation, but in sanctification, in separation, and saying, I am his. He can do with me as he pleases. I will obey. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to obey his word. I will pay my vows now. It says, in the presence of all his people, not just at church, not just where people are all dressed up and smiling, and of course we don't shake hands anymore, we bump elbows or whatever. Now, in the presence of thy people, not just at church, but I'll do it at home, and I'll do it at work, and I'll do it at school, and I'll do it at play when I'm out amongst the people. I will. This is what he said here. The first declaration was found in verse number 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will bind myself to him. Verse number 13, I will take up the cup of salvation. God will be what I'm depending on and whom I'm depending on. Verse 14, I will pay my vows. I will follow through. on my promise. Verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Verse number 19, look what it says. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. This is David calling others to praise the Lord as well. David is saying, I will call others to do the exact same thing, to make the exact declarations I'm making now. So let me ask you a question. What declarations have you made unto the Lord concerning the Lord? Have you bound your soul to Him in salvation? Have you? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His blood? Or are you putting it on a catechism or a baptism or a laying on of hands or some ritual or some class you went to? What is it your faith and trust is actually in? David knew. I will take the cup of salvation. I will take that which God is offering me because I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. I don't merit it. But He offers it freely and I'm taking it. Have you told Him that you love Him? Maybe your mama loved Him. Maybe your daddy loved Him. But how long has it been since you told God, I love you? I'm beginning to realize how much you love me, and I can't help but to tell you again from my own lips, I love you. Have you told Him why you love Him? David says, because God, He listens, He hears me, He grants me an audience. God deals with me bountifully above that which I could ask or think. And God keeps my eyes from tears and my feet from falling. And God, I love you because, and have you ever done that? Have you ever told the Lord all the reasons why you love Him? You know, it's good for us to do that because it grows our faith. Because from time to time, we've got to remember who it is we're dealing with and what He's done in our life. I love you. I didn't deserve this. And I need to be reminded that I am nothing without you. I'm everything. I have everything because of you. Do you understand? Have you professed your dependence on Him in prayer? Have you vocally, verbally said it out loud? God, I need you. I need you. I don't need money. I need you. I don't need more time. I need you. Have you bound your soul with a vow to God to obey Him, to be His servant? That's what it says here. He said, I am thy servant, verse 16. I am thy servant. He says it twice. I'm thy servant. I'm thy servant, O God. 10 times. Do you understand? David says this over and over and over again. Now look at verse 10 again. He said, I believed, therefore have I spoken. 5 times David says, I will. Have you told God, I will? Have you told those around you that you will? Have you convinced yourself to follow through? Have you convinced yourself that you need Him? You need to follow through? Or in the back of your mind, do you have this aching thought, I probably won't follow through, but I feel good making a promise. It's not about how you feel. It's about making a declaration. It's about binding your soul and saying, I am yours. I will obey you because I'm so loved by you. I can't help but respond in this way. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in the next few moments, if there be one that's watching online, watching live right now, that does not know you as their Savior, Father, they don't understand what I meant by the cup of salvation. They don't understand what I meant by knowing for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And Father, I ask that you would convict them of their sin, convince them of their need of a Savior, and God, give them the courage to call upon you in prayer and ask you to forgive because they believe you died for them. And now, Father, for those that are watching and those that will see this later, that Father, that are saved and they know it, but God, they've made some promises that were foolish. Promises they didn't think they knew they wouldn't follow through on, or they hoped they did, but have never really bound their soul. I pray, Father, you would bring them to mind right now, and that people would bind their soul to thee and follow through on your word. Sometimes we've made foolish promises that are contrary to the teaching of your word, and And Father, we recognize that anything that goes contrary to your word goes contrary to your will. But Father, for those of us who've made promises according to your word, and maybe it was at a special time or a special meeting, Father, please remind us that we might bind our soul to thee to follow through as a sign of worship, as a way for us to pay our vows, as a way for us to renew our heart to thee, as a way for us to tell everyone around us, God's real and he loves me. And Father, we ask in the next few moments, as people pray in their homes, Father, that they would make these decisions. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.